Some of you know me, some of you don't know me, so I'm just going to kind of bounce around a little bit this morning. I usually start my speaking with inmate number J66997. That was my California ID number. Or 4919455. That was my Oregon ID number. I forgot my Alaska ID number because I'm old. And yes, I was born in 58. And the only thing that isn't original is my hips. So laugh at that one. But see, when you're raised in an alcoholic family and you're abused from the time you're 3 years old, you really don't have a concept of what it's like to be loved. You really don't understand why you're being punched on and hit as a child, but you learn to duck. You know, you learn to hide from people. You learn that if you open your mouth, that drunkard would punch you in the face. I remember him leaving me on the side of a road and the taillights pulling off, and I was raised in San Bernardino, California, Southern Cal. And I remember the coyotes and the darkness and the depth of despair. I was 6 years old. 6 years old. I never even remember to this day of who came back and got me. Because, see, I was alone. But so I wanted to take this dude out, and you shouldn't want to take this dude out when you're about 8 or 9 years old. But see, something in my head said, I'm not going to get abused any longer. So I burnt the house down trying to kill him. House burnt down. I was a good little pyromaniac, but he lived. And they stuck me in a psychiatric hospital. I was in Pomona Psychiatric Hospital when they still believed in electric shock treatment, where they would lay you out on a metal table, leather you out, put a mouthpiece in you, and bolt you. I learned to hold my mud. I learned right then and there I was never going to tell nobody nothing. I escaped from that psychiatric hospital, and a little brother named Jerome. Little Jerome, we'd go to the park. I never understood this part. They'd put us in a convict van, you know, all those seats, tinted windows, and take us to a park to play on the weekend. Jerome would always say, that's where I stay. That's my grandmama's house. When I escaped, I went to Jerome's house. And when I knocked on the door, Jerome answered the door. And he goes, Donnie, you got out. And I said, bro, I ran. But when I walked in, I seen something I had never seen before. There was these pictures on the wall of this dude hanging on this cross-looking thing. And there was these candles burning on the table and stuff. And I said, hey, Jerome, who's that? He said, you don't know who God is? I said, who? I'd never heard of God before in my life, and I was 9 years old. About 2 minutes later, there was another knock on the door, and Grandma had called the cops on me, and I got taken back to the psychiatric hospital. I hated that God. I hated anything that had to do with that God, because, see, it put me right back to where I was. I finally ran away from home at 13 years old and lived on the streets of California for 4 years at 13, 14, 15, and 16. I learned how to live out of a dumpster just to survive. I learned that if you wanted to take my body, dude, we were fighting till I was knocked completely out. One day I was climbing into a dumpster. I heard this little voice behind me. A little girl said, hey, don't do that. She goes, you're breaking my heart. She goes, let me buy you a hot meal. First time in my life, someone cared about who I was. And she bought me a cheeseburger, a hot French fry, and a cold soda. She became my little buddy. She invited me to the movies one day, and she got hit by a car and killed right in front of me. Where was that God? I was alone again on the streets of California, angry, bitter, hating life, because now you just took the only person that cared about me. There's these signs on the wall that said, hey, join the military, serve your country, travel the world. Well, I dropped out of school in sixth grade. I was dumber than a box of rocks, but I said, I'm going to do this. Went and took a GED test. And I watched how they graded them. And they used to lay, this is way back, they used to lay these plastic sheets over the little bubbles. And they'd go, oh, A, B. Dude, I'm a little convict. So I just marked all the little bubbles. Dude, I was the smartest dude in the GED class ever. I was got straight A's in my GED class, and I could pick any branch of service I wanted to go to. I picked the Air Force. I said, I want to fly. I want to travel the world and be in the Air Force. Vietnam War had just ended. Just ended. They sent me to Lackland Air Force Base, San Antonio, Texas. I get off this bus, and there's this dude about half an inch away from my nostrils screaming something about, get it attention, boy. Oh, it was a rough few months. If you can't silence your phone, that's okay. I can wait. If it's mom, tell her to bring us cookies. We'll be fine. I go in and I get into the hand-to-hand combat during basic training. And dude, with the anger that's built up inside of me, they turned me into a lethal killing machine. I could be one of the best marksmen there was, but see, now all my anger's just been trained. I didn't have no war to go to. 9/11 hadn't even come into Satan's mind to produce anything else, so all they did was put me in 3 years of a killing school. I got out of there, dude, I was lost. Got off the bus in Los Angeles, California again with nothing. But I had this super passion for motorcycles. Dude, I love the sound of a Harley, dude. So I started becoming what they call a hangaround. Hang around the boys, drink, fight, be a knucklehead, start doing time for the club. Pretty soon they made me a prospect. Then I was a full patch holder. For 20 plus years I rode with gypsy jokers on the West Coast, killing, stealing, robbing, perverting, and destroying, doing time on the installment plan. You know, but I had a problem, but I didn't understand what the problem was. See, I figured if I could stick a gun in your face and take your stuff, you couldn't hurt me. I figured if I could beat you up when you were so drunk, you couldn't hurt me. Kicking in doors and taking TVs, they didn't have these flat screens neither. They were about the size of a Walmart. Try strapping that on the back of your Harley and taking it to the club. But in Romans chapter 6, verse about 16, it says, don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? How did I know I was a slave to what I chose to obey? That was my life. Some of you brothers and sisters know what that's like. That's all you had. That was your life. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Nobody wanted to tell me about God. Dude, they were scared of me. I tell people, this is a fat chaplain belly. This used to be up here, but it fell over the years. But that's okay. Because see, if I had a pistol, I'd make you pee your pants. Because, see, I didn't care about nobody. I fathered a child, didn't care about that kid, didn't give a crap about him, had married several, still had my girls on the back. I didn't care about them. I had walked in one day, there's a pile of Kleenexes in front of this wife I had, and I'm like, clean that crap up. I didn't have no heart. I didn't have no care about nothing. Don't you know you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living? I killed a dude. I got a 25 to life bet. Did 12 and a half years in the penitentiary for it. I was in San Quentin. I was in Folsom. I was in Corcoran. I was in Pelican Bay. I did the SHU program and red suited in Pelican Bay when it first opened up and thought I made it. Thought I was there, man. You go do a year in the SHU program. I thought I was it. Get back out. How you doing, dog? We miss you, man. Welcome home. Go do this. All I was their puppet. All I was their source of income. All I was Satan's buddy. I got out of the penitentiary system and I flew into Oregon. While I was in Oregon, I met up with my son, you know, the one I fathered. The mom was with another member of another club. And I seen my little boy, probably about 6 or 8 at that time. And I didn't even hug him. I didn't even high-five him. See, because there was no emotional connection with me and this boy. There was nothing in my life that kept me connected to a child. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. Some of you need to look at yourselves in a mirror and realize it isn't your baby's mama. It isn't your baby daddy. It isn't your mama and it isn't your daddy. It isn't your pastor. It isn't your teacher. It's you. It's us. See, we're the ones that make a choice. We're the ones that say, no, I don't want to be in that world. I don't know what that dude on that cross was about. I hate everybody. But every time I went to jail or to prison, nobody wrote me. Nobody put a dollar on my books. But when I got out, how you doing, dog? How you been, man? Miss you. Here's your gun. Here's your coke. Take off. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I didn't hate. That wasn't the norm. That's what I did. Some of us live in the hood. I live in the hood in Fort Wayne, Indiana, well, really, really close to it, because those are my people. I love them brothers. I love being a part of that. But I couldn't have done it years ago. I was a racist. I was one of the most arrogant pieces of crap that walked. I didn't care who you were or what you were. But see, I came in the house one day, and as I pulled in on my bike, I noticed some people over in the bushes. I was wanted again. And as I go in the house, I said, hey, there's some people over there in the bushes watching me. And she said, man, you've been up too long. Those are bush monsters. There ain't nobody there. I said, there's somebody there. I got on my bike, I went down on the Miracle Mile, came back, and she goes, oh my goodness, as soon as you left, dude, they come out in the truck and they followed you. I said, phew, grabbed my backpack, grabbed my pistol, and I took off to the woods. Stayed out there about a week, and when I came back, my house was empty. I was like, what the heck? Found out that my wife of that time got befriended by one of these Christians, you know what I mean? You need Jesus. To my wife, she accepted Jesus. I said, no way, Jose. I got on my bike. I've been out there for a week. I used to have hair, and fat was up here, so you can picture just what I looked like after a week in the woods. Pulled up in front of a church that they were at. Walked in to this church, and they were having this prayer time or something, because they all looked to me like they were getting sick. They're all bent over. Well, I guess that's how their praying was. And I got up there and I looked at my wife and she looks up and gasps. And this preacher stopped preaching. He said, is that your husband? And she said, yes. On my skin, dude, all that church started going, yay, hallelujah. I thought, that's right, you know who I am. No, that isn't exactly what had happened. See, the night before she went up and asked for prayer for her wayward husband. And Pastor Bob Kirko prophesied that the next night I would come in and dedicate my life to Christ. That next night I walked in there and dedicated my life to Christ. Dirty, broken, lost, dedicated my life to Christ. But here's what happens to us, family. got my hair cut, got showered up, got cleaned up, got my mansion on the hill. It was a mobile home, but it set up on a hill. It was mine. I had a truck, I had a camper, I had my bike, I had my dog, I had my gun, I had my wife. I had everything. But I never gave up my weed. You know that little, it's okay, the little one. I tell people like this, when we come to Jesus, we're like hog farmers. Here, Lord, take my lust. Here, Lord, take my anger. Here, Lord, take my alcohol. Here, Lord, take this. Take whatever it is, and those 500-pound hogs get out of the pig pen. Then we go to cleaning it. And we're just sweeping them stalls out. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a little piglet. It's just a little one. Here's a little itty-bitty little piglet. This ain't going to hurt nobody. I got this one, God. It's just so cute. Mine was weed. What's your piglet? Mine was marijuana. God's put it on earth. It's natural. No, it ain't. It's illegal. I wasn't supposed to be doing it. And that little piglet started getting bigger. Pretty soon that little piglet wasn't enough. And Satan knew that. And he set me up. Turd. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, did you catch that? If I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. I had something else to blame it on. But see, I'm responsible for that choice. Uh-oh, gotta get an amen. Yes, if y'all fall asleep, dude, I will wake you up. In verse, I'm getting old, 18, and I know that nothing good lives in me that is still in my sinful nature. So I was still smoking weed, going and playing guitar, hanging out on the worship team, realizing that I was in a mess. I still had my secret life. My wife didn't even know what I was doing. But see, Satan knew what I was doing. We used to go out to this little place on Sunday night and have cake and ice cream with the families. One couple quit coming. I said, hey, I got to go up there. He said, take someone with you. I said, I got this. My wife said, take someone with you. I said, what? I've been a Christian now a whole year, dude. I got this. Pride swelled up. The me too, me, I can do it. She said, call the pastor. But Pastor Bob, I'm going up. Take someone with you. Three times that rooster crowed. And I said, I got this. Jumped in my truck, cruised on up there. Well, in that day, it's way before cell phones and la-di-da-da-da. As I pulled up, I seen a dude that I was going to see come out of a shed and then go back in it. Slid up front. He comes out. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He says, oh, man, I'm rolling rocks. They were agates, hippie bracelets in Oregon. I said, let me see. He said, no, dude, they ain't ready yet. I said, bro, let me see. Walked in that shop, and as soon as I walked in, the smell hit my nostrils. I said, bro, what is that? He said, man, he said, I'm smoking methamphetamines. I said, what? What is that? It hadn't even hit the streets yet, family. This was so new on the West Coast, nobody in the clubs knew about methamphetamines but this dude. I said, let me try it. I grabbed that aluminum bowl, hit a lighter. He punched me really hard because I burned up his first rock. Just smoked it. But the second one I got down. And within 30 days, I burglarized the church I attended. I robbed my own businesses that my uncle had put me in charge of. I have sold my truck, sold my gun, sold my dog. Wife's kicked me out. And I'm now in California in a stolen pickup truck with a dancing girl in another stolen pickup truck that I stole from her in a high-speed pursuit with the California Highway Patrol. Now, I knew in that year a relationship with this dude named Jesus Christ. But see, I never cleaned out all my pigs. See, I learned that that first introduction from Jerome's grandma wasn't the God that I serve. My God isn't on a cross. My God came to this earth, died for my sins on that cross, was laid in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later rose for me and for you. So I knew that. So now I have a California Highway Patrolman behind me, red lights flashing. I have a loaded pistol next to me on the seat, and I decide I'm going to kill myself. Put the gun in my mouth, pulled the trigger, and it clicked. Click. I pointed it at the floorboard, pulled the trigger again, and a gun inside a closed pickup truck will make a noise that you will pee your pants. I did. Threw the gun. That ain't working. Tried to drive that truck off the bluff and kill myself. Well, when you put a bullet hole in the firewall of a truck, it will hit something up there, and the truck stopped. In the police report states, the cloud of dust dissipated and suspect Foster exits the driver's doors running at me. I'm trying for suicide by cop. 3 times within 10 minutes I tried to kill myself. But this dude named Jesus Christ sent this dude that had to be 6'10" out of this little 5.0 Mustang. He hit me right in the back of the head, somewhere right around here. I went down, woke up facing 104 years to life. 104 years to life. A habitual offender, a three-strike loser, and I'm going to prison forever. So I am not the one doing wrong. It's a sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. You ever felt that way? When your buddy's sitting there in the truck goes, here, just take one hit, man. It ain't going to hurt. Ain't going to hurt you, man. You just came out of the community corrections, bro. They ain't going to piss test you at least for 3 days. Friday. Tell yourself the story that you know to be true for you. I can do this hit of dope because it'll be out of my system in 24 hours. No, it won't. It'll be in your mind for the rest of your life. As you might get over on one, but you ain't going to get over on the next one. My brother sat up here last week and go, ah! And I was sitting over there going, ah! Because I knew what Richard was talking about. When we get locked up in the solitary confinement for a year in the red suit eating out of a little tiny tray, spending 12 and a half years in a penitentiary system and not caring, and you got it rough because the community corrections got you on house arrest for 90 days. I can't do it! Shut up. You can do it. You put yourself there. We did it. But we got to quit blaming it on people, places, and things and understand that the relationship with Jesus Christ is so important. Amen. If you don't have a firm foundation in Christ, you're going to fall. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how bad you are. If your foundation ain't based on the truth of the Word of God, you're going to fall. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Don't get me preaching. Woo! Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. If God had enough sense to inspire someone else to write that, then why ain't that the same in 2019 for me or you? I'm just curious. Do we believe all of it written between Genesis and Revelation, or just what chooses to fit us? Just what makes me feel good? No. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. We're all sinners. But God gave us an answer to that. When he died on that cross for our sins. Then one of his buddies goes, hey man, dude, the dude's dead, man. Come on. Let me have him. Let me put him in these clothes, man. Let me just have my dude. Poke him. Hit him. Spit on him. But said, go ahead, he's dead. But why would he put him in a borrowed tomb. Because, see, my God rose again. Amen. Your God rose again. Amen. 3 days later, some chick goes up there and goes, "Ah! They took him!" Run back. "There's a man, look, come and look, come and look." They one ran. One, me, walked. He's like, "Hey, I'm scared to look in there." And then this dude named Jesus says, "Hey, who are you looking for? Aren't you tired of looking for him? He loves you. He loves you. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I had to look that up. I'm a sixth grade educator. That means I go ahead and do what's wrong anyway. I do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power at war with my mind. You ever had that war? This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So if I repent and kick that sin out, that power's gone. That power's gone, homies. It's gone. But did we let it go? Or did we let it go with a string? "Yeah, God, I'm going to fake Community Corrections out real quick. I got Wendy. I got her. Boom, as soon as I get off that anklet." Are you crazy? I was. But see, I learned one thing in life. Do the same thing I'm doing every day. And it's acknowledging Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior every day. Soon as I get up in the morning, dude, I got this little fancy little machine like that. Someone gave it to me, but it's a fancy little one. And it has a program on it. Dude, I get up and the water's hot. I say, "Hey, God," push that little button. I sit down. Me and God have coffee together. Every day. I don't start my day in a hurry. I'm up at 4:30 if I have to be out the house at 5. I give him what I gave the dope man, everything. I gave him what I gave the club, everything. It isn't a 12-step program. You're either in or you're out. You're either in or you're out. You're either hot or you're cold. Because see, if you're hot or cold, God supports you. You say, "I don't want to know you, God." He says, "It's not got my respecter, man." If you're hot, you get to do it. But lukewarm, "I will spit you out of my mouth." His words. So get in. Yes, we have to do the 12-step program for the courts and that stuff. But what's wrong with Celebrate Recovery? 12 steps. But they're lined up with the Word of God. You can learn those 12 steps, and the court system we have here will respect that Celebrate Recovery just as much as AA. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still in me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Dude's asking. And the answer is, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Dude, you mean to tell me 2,000 years ago somebody wrote this for me in 2019? Because they knew I was going to struggle with sin? I've been clean and sober now since 10-20-05. 10-20-05. Okay, the 104 years I was on, I got to tell you this so you know part of what happened. God met me in the courtroom. I ain't gonna lie. Long story short, they gave me 4 years, wiped 100 off my sentence. That was the first God miracle. In that 4 years, I started studying this word. Instead of going out to the Me Too buddies, let's get high, Me Too, you know, I went to chapel. The bikers were like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "Dude, let me anoint you, bro. You need to know Jesus." And so pretty soon, they just helped me out of the club. They said, "Take your bike. Take everything out." I got in that joint and for 4 years, I said, God, I want three things. I said, I want one wife, because I was married to a couple of them at the same time. That's illegal. Don't do it. Cleared up all my divorces, everything. I said, I want one wife. I want one that I can love, dude. I want one that I can really, really relate to and becomes my best friend. My wife and I have just celebrated our 17th year of marriage. She's amazing, dude. God, she's amazing. Undeserved grace, but I love her, dude. Remember the little girl that got killed by the car? I said, God, I want a little girl. I want to name her in memory of Shauna that was killed by our little girl. Just turned 15 yesterday. Her name's Shauna. She's my baby. She's his baby, but he lets me hold her. And I serve Jesus with my whole heart. I'm all in. I am all in. You can call me anytime, day or night, and I will be there to help you. Because see, these type of mentors right here in this room have been there to help me. These men that we've walked this out, several of us here, have been there for me. I will be there for you. Pam will be there for you ladies. Richard, there's no more going, ah! There's no more of that. I lay my head down on my pillow at night, and my wife smells a heck of a lot better than a year in the shoe program. But are you done? Are you done? See, we got to understand that we're either done or we're just faking ourselves out. See, we struggle with sin, family. We do. We're sinful by nature. But see, the little boy that I dissed 2 years ago, he reached out on this thing called Messenger on Facebook. He said, Dad, this is your son Gabriel. I'm just like you were. I'm a methamphetamine cook in the state of Oregon. I'm on my way to prison. I can't do this anymore. Will you help me? I brought my son to Fort Wayne, Indiana 2 years ago. Had to actually fly him back out there to face his charges. And my son is back here in Fort Wayne right now. He sits right back there occasionally. And he's clean and sober. God restored me in his life after 40 years. So those of you that don't think your kids will come back, they come back. But are you there to be the men and women to receive them the way God had gave you to you in the first place? My son wrote me a letter, and he forgave me. I just turned 61 this year. Last year on the 60th birthday, they had a surprise for me. They flew my biological daughter from Salmon, Idaho, to meet me for the first time in my life. My baby mamas knew each other. They knew that they had impregnated their somebody did it. I had all five of my children in my living room in Fort Wayne, Indiana for the very first time in my life. I went from no grandkids 2 years ago to nine of them little turds now. And they all call me Papa. Where's God bringing you? I have a story, but you have a story. I travel all over the country now speaking in prisons. They flew me back to California to speak in those prisons that I was once an inmate in. You know what it's like to walk up to the warden and go, thank you. Instead of going, I'm kidding. You don't do that. I have went from being three cells away from Charles Manson to living for Jesus Christ. I have went from being a thief to a business owner. I've went from being the one that needed help being a client as in recovery to one that runs a recovery program. I have nothing that is not available to you. Everything I have is the same thing that God has for you. Restoration in Him. But you got to clean the pig pen out. And I'm going to close with, if I can even see. I had it here somewhere, but I'm old. I don't drink, I don't dope, and I'm going to wrap up with some reasons why. I can't be sober-minded if I'm not sober. Alcohol has an assignment. Drugs have an assignment. Destruction. That's its job, to destroy us. Alcohol is a depressant. Anything that depresses should be avoided at all cost. I don't want to make my brother or sister stumble in the name of exercising my Christian liberties. My choice to drink could lead someone else to their downfall. Alcohol leaves me worse, not better. I'm just going to drink this away. Well, you wake up in the morning, that didn't go nowhere. Now you got a hangover and it's still there. Or your drugs, heroin, crack, meth, whatever it is. Now it's spice. I buried 18 people last year off of spice. What I do in moderation, my children will do in excess. Oh, it's just social gathering. My son fell out of the same tree I did. Even the unsaved know I shouldn't drink. Bible in one hand, beer in the other. Any lost person can point this out as confusing and contradictory. I live right by Captain Cork, Belmont Liquors, whatever. I don't even know the exact name, but I know where it is. I ain't going to be walking out of there with no case. Alcohol doesn't bring others closer to the Lord when they see me drinking, but further away. What if Trent called me one night and said, bro, I need you to help me pull a car out. Oh, okay, and I get up there and I smell like alcohol or weed. Or I'm so high. Show me a family where alcohol has made a positive difference in their lives. Show me a family that alcohol has made a positive difference in their lives. I bet you can't. Alcohol makes it much harder for me to practice the fruit of self-control. Ladies, you know, we were players. Here, have another drink. Have another drink. Yeah. We didn't want you to have that other drink. That cost me money, but I knew what it was going to do afterwards. Many regrets are associated with alcohol. Man, I shouldn't have done it. Why did I get here again? I had my driver's license taken for life. Four lives. Today, I have a CDL Class A driver's license. I have a motorcycle endorsement, and I have a star on my driver's license. That means you can fly around. Are you kidding me? That's only God. And it's in my real name. That's God. Alcohol kills your brain cells. I'm dumb enough. I want them to regenerate a little bit. That helps me a little bit. Alcohol causes me to act in ways I normally wouldn't. Dude, I think I'm a dancer when I'm real drunk. Let me explain to you, I got no dancing skills. I am a total white guy that has nothing on it. That's about all you get right there. That was at my daughter's wedding. I don't get drunk. I only have one or two drinks. If they didn't affect you, you would drink soda. Dude, I couldn't drink Pepsi. And I'm going to wrap it up with this. Where are you? Where are you at? There's something God's calling you to do. Are you listening? Be still. Memorize scripture. And let Jesus Christ be the real ruler in your life. Amen. Man, I thank you guys. Dude, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want you guys to understand that. Don't listen to Satan any longer. You are created in Jesus Christ's image. I stand in the mirror in the morning now and go, "Dang, you're good looking." Before, I couldn't even look in the mirror when I shaved. I didn't even want to see what happens the way I used to look at people. But see, Jesus turned ugly into beautiful. And he's doing that in your lives. So the closer you draw to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the better your life will be from this day forward. Amen?
Amen.